We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here at PHNX with this guy.
We're here.
That's right.
The day has come, Derek. I wasn't sure this day would ever come.
I never thought it would.
It felt fake to me, like there was this day far off when me and Derek Montilla were going to be together in studio.
Yeah.
But it just didn't really feel.
No.
Didn't feel like it was actually going to happen.
It was like when you are and your friends talk about the movie that you're going to make that you're never actually going to make. But you're like, see, this would be
in
the movie.
Right.
But you're never
going
to make that movie. But we're making this thing happen right now. And of course, I am your mayor of PHNX, occasionally known as Derek Montilla. This is my vice mayor, PHNX, occasionally known as Thunderstick. But more importantly, this is the one and only Jesse Friedman.
Oh, I wondered if you were going to get my actual name.
Oh, I'm going to get it in there. I'm still calling you Thunderstorm because you brought the rain to Arizona. And
I hope it rains again tonight.
I hope
we are 3 for 4, ladies and gentlemen. Since I moved to Phoenix, Arizona, we have had rain on 3 of 4 days. And people told me it doesn't rain very often here, Derek. And I don't know. I don't know if that's true. We'll have to see.
You're going to figure out very soon it doesn't rain nearly as much as Seattle. And of course, don't forget, you're 1-2 with the Diamondbacks. So
This is true.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes on that. But of course, we want to welcome you in and let you know this show is brought to you by the fine folks at the DraftKings Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook app. Jesse, of course, the Arizona Diamondbacks have an off day today. No off days for us. We're here. We're in studio, but a much needed off day with the upcoming 2-week schedule that the Arizona Diamondbacks have. And beyond that, I guess I should say, leading into the All-Star game. But I wanted to ask you, let's get things started off in the right way, because I haven't had the chance to have you here. What is your favorite thing to do on an off day? I imagine someone as busy as yourself absolutely hates off days because you don't know what to do with yourself.
Right. Well, I don't really know what an off day is. That's the that's the problem.
That's true. No, Mr. No Days Off over here.
Right. But exactly. When I was a high school teacher in Washington, by the time you hit Friday, you're completely wiped.
Yeah.
And so you want nothing to do with anyone, basically, by the time the weekend comes. So generally Friday nights would be very chill. I would not do much then. But on weekends, one of my favorite things to do, and I'm hoping to do this here once it's not 147 degrees outside, is I love to hike. Derek, I think that hiking is a wonderful
thing.
It's a
great way to spend your time.
It is a wonderful way to spend your time. So,
but very scary to do here in Arizona because it's literally one of our most deadliest summertime activities.
Yeah, right.
And people tend to take Camelback Mountain, for instance, for granted. But
Camelback Mountain is very steep.
It's a beast.
I hiked like most of it a couple years ago. And I like to say I actually just ran out of time. But the real truth is that Camelback Mountain is not easy to hike.
Yeah, so, it's not for novices for sure. But You know, I think with my off days, I have a very hard time relaxing and not watching baseball or doing something regarding this.
Is watching baseball work? Is that what you're implying?
Absolutely work. I have to imply that, because if I don't, then my wife's going to ask me what I'm doing with the kids. So if I say no, then it's just going to not, it's not going to help my with credibility around
that's
the house.
Fair. But, that's fair.
I will say that I do tend to like to play video games. I've talked about that. Obviously, I have the arcade in the background of the office shop.
Do you actually play that arcade?
Oh, I play those games. I absolutely bought my favorite games, because I found that when I go to a newer arcade, I still gravitate towards things like Pac-Man and Galaga and Donkey Kong.
Sure.
So I wanted them in my house now, because it's fleeting. You know, I've talked for the last like week about going to Dave and Buster's and how the Wicked Tuna game pays out. By the way, I don't know if it's broken, but if you're in the area, go to Dave and Buster's and get down on the Wicked Tuna game. But, you know, of course, they don't have those games anymore at the arcade, Jesse. You don't go find Pac-Man and Galaga anymore, unless it's like 500 feet tall.
The classics are gone.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I still like playing the classics, but I really don't actually get around to playing them much. Like,
It's
like my actual pastime is starting it up and watching like on the PlayStation 5, the video, the cutscene, and then falling asleep, taking a daytime nap in between, and that's pretty much it, because I'm exhausted all the time. By the way, you didn't come to my day club, and I'm still...
Yeah.
I'm still recovering from the effects of being out in the sun that long.
You don't look too... I mean, if I had gone to the Maya Day Club, Derek, and I had spent more than about 5 minutes in the sun, then my entire body would be the color of this t-shirt.
Yes. Yeah,
so
for sure.
That's sort of how things
work. I bounced back pretty well from this stuff. I also had a concert last night that due to the thunderstorms in the area... they did not open the doors until like about 9 o'clock for Halsey. Doors were supposed to open at 5:30. So it was quite the wait, and awesome show though, regardless. I did not make it. She actually made a reference midway through her show that the people that were old as dirt would start phasing out soon. And she wasn't wrong about that. So we didn't make it quite to the end of the show, but we almost made it there. And that, again, I blame on you not being at the day club.
Yes, surely if I had been there, you would have had the energy.
Yeah, I don't know. But of course, after today's day off, the Arizona Diamondbacks don't have much of a day off going forward. The next 2 weeks, looking at the schedule, are I'm not going to say are brutal, because we're playing the Rockies twice in the next 2 weeks, and that looks really good right about now, all things considered, what they have coming up going into the All-Star break. But they have this weird two-game set with San Diego at home, then to Colorado for an away series, then back home for the Giants and the Rockies. And in this series with the Padres coming up, we get Zach Gallen and Mad Bum going up against the Padres. So thoughts on this little bit of the schedule? I think that especially with it kind of being daunting, that the Diamondbacks kind of have to take it just one game at a time, or at least one series at a time, without... you know, without it being too much.
Yeah. I mean, the pitchers on the other side in that Padres series, I believe it's Sean Manaea in the first game, and then it's Mike Clevinger in the second game. So the Diamondbacks have Zach Gallen, Madison Bumgarner, which, you know, you feel pretty good about. But Sean Manaea, the Diamondbacks have seen a good amount of him already this season a couple times now. And Mike Clevinger, they saw about a week ago as well. So there's certainly some familiarity here. But things didn't go so great the last time the Diamondbacks played the San Diego Padres. We'll have to see if the Diamondbacks, especially the offense in that series, just really struggled. Things just didn't look good for them. So hopefully things can get back on track in this series.
Well, you wrote about your five takeaways from the series loss to the Tigers. And obviously one of the takeaways for me there is the offensive output in the finality of the series. So do you think that that's going to carry over, or is that not, I mean, is that just kind of a good day against a pretty bad Tigers team?
Yeah. I mean, it's $1 million question, right? It's hard to answer something like that. But yeah, I mean, the Diamondbacks scored 11 runs total over their 5-game losing streak. And then, of course, they score 11 runs in one game in this series finale yesterday. So I think that's baseball, right? That's the sport that we know and love, where those kinds of things happen. It would be nice if you could take all of the runs that you score for the entire season and just like
aggregate
spread
scoring.
Evenly.
We want aggregate scoring.
Yeah, pick the days where you need to score more runs or fewer runs, depending on how many you're going to give up. But that's not really how it works. So, I think there were some good signs, though. Carson Kelly, I think in particular, we didn't talk too much about him yesterday. I thought he really seemed like he was seeing the ball a lot better in the game yesterday. That's something that I wrote about in my article today. And that would be huge for the Diamondbacks. A lot of people forget that Carson Kelly, about a year ago, Carson Kelly, first of all, had just suffered a wrist injury that would keep him out for like 6 weeks. But prior to that, Carson Kelly was one of the best catchers in the National League. He was hitting, I think it was like 260. He had an on-base percentage of nearly 400 at that point. He was probably going to be an all-star, or at least was certainly in that conversation at that point. And he's just been completely missing from the Diamondbacks offense this season. Even after the home run yesterday, the numbers still have a long ways to go to get to where we've seen him in the past. So, he's a good hitter, and we've seen what he can do at the big league level in the past. And the Diamondbacks have sort of adjusted to a norm where Carson Kelly's just not really a factor offensively. And if suddenly that was able to change, maybe in this next series, he's able to continue to build momentum. That would be really big for this team.
It would be huge. And the other thing that I wanted to address was Dallas Keuchel, because it's kind of become a thing in our chat a bit about the, about if we were getting overly excited or not.
You got some flack for the tweet you put out yesterday.
I mean,
it was from D-back at D-backs overreact or something like that.
It was, and it was about taking a bow. And I think it wasn't really trying to make it out like Dallas Keuchel went out there and threw a 12 strikeout gem, right?
But 4 1/3, it is a little weird to be as excited as I think people were yesterday about 4 1/3 innings and four runs. That's not a quality start. Yeah, six hits, three walks. It's a lot of base runners. The numbers don't look that good, but I think it was more about the eye test and the fact that he got 15 swings and misses. There were some good signs there for sure.
And it's just the fact that at this point, I think if you're familiar with pitchers and how long it takes for them to kind of get ready for a season and adapt, this was a pretty fast moving experience for him. And he didn't have a lot of time really to build up. They did have him out there for 98 pitches, which, like you said, it's not super encouraging that he, took four and a third.
You'd like to get a little more mileage out of 98 pitches.
Sure. But he commented to you, and Torrey Lovullo also commented about, how excited he was, how nervous he was. Right?
Yeah, he was so serious about that too. When he was talking to us reporters, he said that his heart rate was like skyrocketing right before the outing.
Well, it's gotta be weird, right? This is a guy that's gone out there and been like a stone cold killer on the mound.
Yeah,
right?
He won the Cy Young Award. Yeah.
Right. So for him, I imagine that to be uncomfortable on the mound is new. Like, you find yourself nervous and it's almost surprising, right? It's kind of like, I don't know. Sometimes I get to a point now where I'm around a lot of the ball players. I'm older than them. I've been there. I've been covering the team longer than them. So I don't really get like starstruck by like the younger players as much as I used to about guys that I was kind of a fan of before doing this, right? But every once in a while, someone walks in that literally has me like starstruck, like with Katie Nolan coming in to Chase Field the other day, right?
You guys don't understand how excited Derek was to meet Katie
Jesse
Nolan.
Jesse was there for it, and he got to see the embarrassment that
was
me.
And the sad reality was I didn't actually know who Katie Nolan was in that moment, and Derek was just completely starstruck as she walked by.
Love Katie Nolan. I love Katie Nolan more than members of my own family. So she is a delight. And not only is she a delight, but she is somebody that has inspired me. I think watching people like her on ESPN and enjoying their kind of content is something I wanted to be a part of, something I wanted to do. You know, kind of being relegated to doing game coverage and stuff made me want to be what PHNX lets us be now, which is ourselves. And she was an inspiration for me because her entire career she has been that, right? I love everybody that was on Highly Questionable. Nobody more than Poppy, of course. But if you appeared on Highly Questionable, you're very high on my list of sports personalities. I just I don't have that happen often, right? Like,
sure.
There's people that come and throw out the first pitch, and I don't even know who they are, and someone tells me, and I'm like, oh, neat, you know?
Yeah.
But not this instance. And so it is kind of funny to have those moments that remind you of like, oh my God, I'm literally my palms are sweaty and my heartbeat is racing because
right.
This person I like to watch on television is walking up to me.
There is something about that. There's definitely something about that. Yeah.
It's interesting. And so like, especially for him, right? Like to come in and be that nervous and such. So I think there's something to be said about him still performing at the level that he did. And like you said, the eye test, right? The ability to get guys out and to see potential there for him to maybe get better. Who knows? The Diamondbacks right now aren't in a position where they're making someone, they're putting someone off to have Dallas Keuchel in the lineup. They are looking
for a
rotational spot.
The counter argument there, and I know some people voiced this on Twitter, is Corbin Martin struck out 13 in his last outing.
He did.
But the counter argument to the counter argument is that in his start yesterday in Reno, Corbin Martin lasted 2/3 of an inning and gave up 5 runs. So the mojo there is not quite what
it was a
week ago.
Counter argument.
Yeah. Now it's your job to make the counter to the counter to the counter argument.
I don't. My counter argument is Dallas. I mean, it's like I've said before. Sometimes you have to take a guy that's done it at a major league level before over someone that you don't know what they can do. No matter what they've done in the minor leagues, playing in Major League Baseball is a completely different animal. And we've seen guys, no matter how good they've been at a AAA level, come up and not be effective in the majors, right? So
sure.
I think the Diamondbacks are being very careful with Corbin Martin, and I do think that he's part of their future plans. But inconsistency right now is, I think, the thing keeping him off the coming up to the big league club. And I think that, honestly, the Diamondbacks are in need of finding an arm until it doesn't work anymore. I'm giving Dallas Keuchel all the starts, so that's my feeling. And of course, you can check out Jesse's piece on gophnx.com about his 5 takeaways from the Diamondback series with the Tigers and so much more. If you haven't signed up to become a member already, please do so. If you get yourself an annual membership, you get yourself a free t-shirt like this guy over at the phnxlocker.com. And of course, you will also get yourself access to our members only Discord, where we are getting our Mailbag Monday questions from you. We're chatting about games. It's popping. It's a party all the time. And again, it's your guys'
party. Someone just
needs
to teach you how to get it on your computer, which apparently Derek has yet to figure out.
I've been throwing him under the bus a lot, so
I had to get him
back. I expect this, actually, and I welcome it because he's here. So, I'm still technologically challenged when it comes to some things, and I still don't have Discord on my computer, but I do have it on my phone. I can access it there, and that is the reason why sometimes I'm not present, but that's neither here nor there. You guys get access. It's your party. We're just guests at your Discord, really, when it comes to the Diamondbacks, it's awesome.
Do you know that you can – it's like a website, bro. It's the same.
Really? On like Facebook or Twitter or whatever? Wild. Yep. Did not know that.
Or if you can – buddy, you can get the app.
Yep. Like from the app store on my
– Yeah.
On
you
the,
gotta,
on
the you
yeah.
have a MacBook, bro?
That's what I use.
Wild.
Yeah. If you're in the Discord, then you should go in there right now and help Derek.
Yeah, send me instructions.
Yeah, give
on
him
how to step
by step instructions so we can hear from him more often.
I don't feel stupid enough already, so please do that. But if you want to just be a normal person, you don't have to do that. Of course, if you don't get the annual membership, you can get yourself the month-to-month membership. You get the discounts at PHNX Locker. No free shirt, but you get your first month for just 50 cents, and you still can join us in the Discord and be part of the PHNX family. And speaking of PHNX family, our entire family will be out on Wednesday at our friends right here, Four Peaks Brewing Company. Join us out at Four Peaks Brewery in Tempe. We will all be there.
Even I will be there.
Even Jesse will be there.
I will.
He promises this time. So I don't know. I'm not leaving it up to him. I'm going to go pick him up and make sure he gets there. But of course, we want you guys to enjoy our friends at Four Peaks. Join us. Come watch us do the show. Hang out with us. We won't be doing the show all day, but we'll be there quite a while. So make sure to join us. You can try the Four Peaks line of brews that they have. They are all delicious. And there's one handcrafted specifically for you. Of course, if you can't join us at the Four Peak Brewing Company in Tempe, make sure to enjoy their brews at your convenience store, supermarket near you. Their beers are excellent, and you can get them 21 and over only. And please enjoy responsibly, but enjoy them for sure anywhere you get your local beers at. Jesse, it's time.
It is time.
It's time. Of course, you know what we do around here. We welcome Jesse. Every day is Earth Day. Every week is Shark Week. And every Monday, we go to the mailbag. Always something interesting in my mailbox. I try to get to everything in my mailbox. And then once in a while, there's a letter that makes me go wow. Yes, mailbag Monday. Let's get to it. We've been taking them from Twitter. We've been taking them from Discord. Let's get to our first question. Emma, what do we got? Adam in Pennsylvania asks, mailbag Monday question, with the DH in both leagues now, why even have the NL and AL? Without the DH, both leagues have the same rules. Why not just realign geographically? Can the Dodgers not be in our division, please? I like everything there said by Adam in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Obviously, you still have to have divisions, right? And then you want...
Nah, you don't need divisions.
You want to break it up.
You don't need divisions. You don't need leagues.
Nothing.
Just do a straight up 1 through 30.
Just everybody. Yeah. And the top two. That sounds awful.
Take the top 12, 14, however many they want. No, it's a fair question because, yeah, there's really no difference between the two leagues now in terms of the rules or anything. They're exactly the same. So... I just think it would be really weird if they actually changed things. I mean, the divisions have been the way that they are with small changes for a number of years at this point. But I mean, anything that gets the Diamondbacks away from the division of the Dodgers, it's probably hard to argue with something like that. So it's a fair question.
I mean, and especially considering that at one point the divisions were meant to keep things close. And that's kind of gone out the window with how expansive some of the divisions are.
Yeah.
We still play other divisions. We still play interleague. You still have teams traveling all around the country, right? So,
well, and next year you're going to have every team playing every team. So
right.
The divisions will kind of even feel like they mean less next year too.
Sure, because they're going to be playing them less.
Right.
I don't know. Obviously, you still have to have some sort of way to break it up. So would we do just a Western Conference and Eastern Conference kind of thing, like basketball at that point?
Yeah.
Like,
I guess basketball, the NBA does have divisions, but they kind of feel like they don't really matter very much
right. Like,
in many ways.
We're still in the Lakers division. Like, we as Phoenix would still end up in the Dodgers division. You know they'd fucking do that to us.
Yeah.
You know they would. They absolutely would. We would not get away from them.
I mean, if you go geographically, it's hard to argue against that.
I know.
Too, because they're kind of close to each
right.
other. Right.
So what are we doing? We're still playing San Francisco, San Diego, and LA.
Yeah.
Probably the Colorado Rockies. Like, our division probably makes the most sense geographically than any division in baseball right now.
Yeah. Geographically is already the geographic thing is already happening right within the National League and the American League.
Yeah.
So it's not a shock that the Diamondbacks are close to their NL West counterparts, but
like, it'd be like a coastal league, maybe like all the California teams.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
Angels,
if you throw in
the
AL West, then that cushions the blow of the Dodgers quite a bit because
get them the hell out of here.
Yeah. The Angels are, you know, they're the Angels and they'll find a way to lose 12 or 14 in a row or whatever it was. So,
and then fight the other team.
And then, yes,
they're
that
still
was,
fighting the Mariners.
Did you
by
see?
The way.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was
oh, I saw,
really
I saw them reenact
yesterday.
The Naked Gun fight. It was awesome.
Oh,
they reenacted
my gosh.
The fight from Naked Gun. Also, there was a great story about a fan sending a pizza to Jesse Winker after the fight. And
wait,
it actually,
why?
Because she was a Mariners fan. So Jesse Winker was the one that got plunked and the fight started, started the fight. I'm not going to say he started the fight. He was the retaliatory hit for Mike Trout getting hit the night before. So it was him getting plunked that started the fight. But
right.
She sent him a pizza and then it kind of went viral of her like tweets tracking the delivery guy, bringing the pizza to the stadium to see if it would actually happen. And it did end with not only Jesse Winker receiving the pizza, and sending her a message thanking her for the pizza. But it also got a bunch of love from the Seattle Mariners fans for the delivery guy for going through all that. So he got like his Venmo put up on Twitter and people sent him a bunch of money and stuff. So it was a great all-around story. And again, just goes to show, you can be nice. You can send a player a pizza. Chances are he'll get it. Just, I mean, it depends on how it's received, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody likes all those carbs. Anyway, next question on Twitter. or wherever. Oh, Michael Rokicki. He says, when do we get a podcast where Derek and Jesse rate the food at Guy Fieri Place? Oh, that's impossible because Jesse did not get his certification in the system.
Look, just because you did a snack podcast doesn't mean...
I did
mean...
not do a snack podcast. I went to an institute of higher learning to get certified in snacking.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't know anything about the PER system, do you? The pick, eat, rate system. It's a very complicated system of picking, eating, and rating snacks.
Yeah,
it's not,
it sounds like it. Yeah.
See, everybody thinks they can do it until they actually have to do it. It's far more complicated
than you think. So, Derek, you're educated on food and snack review, but
yes.
Not Discord?
Hey, you don't have to snack. You don't review in Discord. You don't crowdfund your rating, right? Your rating
when,
comes from
when
the
do you
heart.
Get your Discord certification? When does that happen?
Maybe they need to send me to a class so I can figure it out. But yes, that's the reason why Jesse can't rate. He's not allowed to. The rating wouldn't be official.
Honestly,
Jesse
I wouldn't be very good at that because I'm one of those people who will. I'm not very picky. So if you give me something to eat that's like reasonably okay, I'm just going to be like, nothing will get a 10 out of 10, but like literally everything will get an 8 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, that's
to the
guy.
Point where it will be completely meaningless. So you probably should, you should probably do it anyway.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's fine. It's fine. And I got a bone to pick with Guy Fieri, mayor of Flavortown. What's happening? Mayor of Tasteburg over here. I don't know. Mayor of Yummydale, whatever you want to call me, you have a opening for a business and you appear live via satellite without a sash. I'm just saying. I think it speaks for itself right there. That's my opinion. But anyway, Emma, we can move on to the next question, I believe. Ooh, I like this one.
This is a good one.
Gabriel at Bold is Bronze asks, other than the dog inside Alec Thomas, because we know the dog in him is at 100, which is your favorite dog breed? I love me some Border Collies and Australian Shepherds. Oh, man, I love Border Collies and Australian Shepherds myself. Those are brilliant dogs, but I have to be a little biased. I think Jesse's going to be biased.
We are going to be biased.
I love French Bulldogs, and it's because of this little lady right there.
Aww.
Yeah, that's my girl right there. I love this dog more than anything, and this dog loves me more than any other human being on the planet. So French Bulldogs now have a very special place in my heart. They're not quite a bulldog, so they're not as disgusting as like an English bulldog, but they're bulldog adjacent, you know, and that's why I like them.
Sure. So I'm also going to be biased here. Objectively, Derek, look at how cute this dog
is. Oh my God, look at that Muppet.
And she,
look at that Muppet.
She is a cockapoo. She is a Cocker Spaniel poodle mix.
Oh yeah.
And she is wearing a little D-Bax, tag there.
I see that.
So, yes, this is my dog Millie, and we love her dearly. So
I love Millie too.
Yes, we all do.
Let's go.
But yeah, I'm more of a small dog person, but I'm not opposed. I love all dogs. So at the end of the day, sort of like the snack thing, I like them all. So not a great person to ask about this sort of thing.
I actually used to work at an animal hospital. It's where I met my wife. And the one thing I used to think about big dog breeds was I would have such a hard time. Like, it's like a person. Like, I don't know. At least a little dog to me is like a pet. But like, a big dog is
eventually
like
they're like bigger and stronger than you are.
Well, it's not just that, but you got to understand working in the animal hospital, it's depressing, but you think a lot about losing your pets, right? And so that's the part that, like, with a big dog, I'm like, I don't know if I'd be devastated. Like, I don't know if I could go to work for, like, I'd have to take, like, bereavement leave over a big dog passing away just because.
Wait, why is it different?
It's different because they're, like, they're, I don't know. There was something about them that, like, I was thinking about having that, like, bigger presence in, you know, in your life, like, missing. Like, smaller dogs I tend to think of as, you know, I don't know. Still as like pets as smaller things.
Sure.
You know, like,
okay.
But I'm talking about someone that has like a Great Dane or like a Mastiff that sleeps in the bed with them. It's like literally a human being that you know is gone. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it's that's the thing. Sometimes I forget my dogs aren't people. Very much so. Very much so all the time. I have to remind my wife all the time to not talk to the dogs in complicated sentences. Like in whole ass sentences, because she will just give them like, she'll be like, who took the thing off the table? And it's like, you know, they're not going to answer you, right?
Like, are you implying that, like, if she spoke in shorter phrases, that the dog would know exactly what she was talking about?
Like, I tend to use, like, no's and bad dogs and good. I don't talk to my dogs like
that. I found that dogs, at least the dogs that I've had, respond to the tone of your voice.
That's really very true.
You can say something very mean in a very high-pitched voice, and they'll just be so happy. Yeah, they'll just be overjoyed.
They're
yeah.
like, what?
Awesome. You can trick them pretty easily. So,
all right. Next question. All right. Elizabeth at Burritosaur asks, at the Burritosaur, excuse me, the Burritosaur. She asks, in a baseball retelling of Space Jam, which current D-back would take the place of Michael Jordan, and who would you cast as the Monstars? I'm pretty sure you have not seen this film. Is that right?
That's generally the case, yeah, and it is also the case here. So
Michael Jordan again is the heroic role in this film, right?
That part I knew.
Pairing together with the Looney Tunes guys on the good guy side, and then you have the Monstars comprised of like, I won't say like some is Charles Barkley was there, and him and Michael were friends, right? But like other basketball players that were on other teams, almost like an all-star team of his opponents,
his
right?
Enemies, so, right.
I'm gonna go evil Diamondbacks opponents with the Monstars. I'm gonna say Yasiel Puig is a Monstar.
Okay.
Ryan Braun, definite Monstar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else?
I feel like the Diamondbacks don't have that many hardcore enemies at this stage in their franchise.
Max Scherzer.
I don't think he's an enemy. No, I think people are just very sad that he left.
Right. That would be like the heart-wrenching.
Are you going to put like Paul Goldschmidt in there too?
Yes, okay. I am absolutely putting Paul Goldschmidt on there. Josh Hunt wants Jake Lamb in there. Yes.
Why you got to do Jake Lamb like that? My goodness.
I don't know, but it makes a lot of sense. He would definitely be. And he would hit 365 on the Monstars, Josh. But who from the Diamondbacks is our heroic savior?
The heroic savior on the Diamondbacks, I think, has to be none other than Carson Kelly. Because if you ever get a chance to talk to Carson Kelly, he's just a funny sort of guy. And I don't know. I think he has it in him, Derek.
That's a weird comparison to Michael Jordan.
That's like, you know, you say that, but that's what I'm going with. Okay. So what do you got?
In the movie, Michael Jordan has retired to play baseball at this point in his career. So I'm going with a retired heroic Diamondback. And of course, it's Luis Gonzalez.
Oh, okay.
Gonzalez.
Wait, was the question, were we restricted to current Diamondbacks players?
I don't know. Were we restricted to current Diamondbacks players?
That was my assumption.
Emma. No, it's just D-backs players. All right.
I'm still sticking with Carson Kelly.
It's not going to be Randy Johnson.
I feel like it's up to interpretation. So
yeah.
Okay.
Whatever you guys want, you guys run the show. Come on.
Okay.
She's right. We do run the show. Josh Hunt runs the show, and he says if we want the acting like MJ, put in Mad Bum. I just know his lines would be so monotone. That's a double sided attack. That's on Michael Jordan and Mad Bum at the same time. Brilliantly done.
Yeah. Well done, Josh.
Well done. All right. Next question. Oh, it comes from this guy, Josh Hunt. He says, I found my mailbag, Josh, get it together. what is the most obscure Diamondbacks souvenir that you have? I have a Diamondbacks bottle opener that when you use it, it plays the Greg Schulte's 2001 Gonzo walk-off hit call. That is incredible.
That's incredible.
Really, really good. Yeah. I don't know. The Pachilco.
You have way more Diamondbacks trinkets than I ever collected.
I have weird slot machine. I have that weird slot machine. That's definitely up there. Pachillo or whatever it's called, but it's very specific. And I've told you guys on this show before. I even asked Mark Grace about it because it's so oddly specific to Mark Grace. He's never seen it before in his life. That part is so weird to me that someone would be so into Mark Grace specifically that they would use an autographed baseball as one of, you know, the things on the reels for the slot machine. So,
yeah,
I mean, that by far is like the weirdest thing I've ever come across. And it's why I bought it. I bought it because I was like, this is absurd. And at the time, I didn't even know it was a Mark Grace like specific machine. Right. I thought it was just a World Series, you know, 2001 Diamondbacks World Series.
Which would still be pretty. I mean, that's still pretty cool.
It's still pretty cool, but it's still like oddly unique, right? And that's why with the ashtray, it had a dumpable ashtray. I think Mark Grace is still lying to me. I think it totally is. He just doesn't want to fess up to it. But.
You've always had far more Diamondbacks trinkets than I will ever have.
I do.
So
it's kind of like you were reading off that list the other day of the inaugural season giveaways, right?
Yeah.
And like, oh my God, I couldn't believe there was 50 of them.
Yeah, they literally gave away like 50 items, which kind of makes sense because if there's a new franchise in town, then you know every sponsor wants to get there. Their hand in the game somehow, but
makes sense.
Yeah, I pretty much just have some dusty old bobbleheads around the house from when I was little, but I really have nothing interesting as far as Diamondbacks trinkets go, so that bottle opener sounds pretty rad.
That bottle opener. I like the stuff that makes the sounds, like I have the, you know, David Peralta one that makes the like train noises, and there is a Archie Bradley one, this guy right here.
Oh, there we go.
This one makes the call, right? There it is.
That's so bad for audio. That's so bad.
Yeah, that guy. So yeah, I like the stuff. I mean, I think some of the stuff they've come up with lately, I think it was the Robbie Ray like strikeout counter one.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Like that was pretty cool.
Realistically, the really obscure stuff tends to be found like in like Goodwill now. When I go to Goodwill,
that's definitely where, like, you should go.
The crap that they have, like stuff I didn't even know that they ever made for, you know, the Diamondbacks in any way, shape, or form. But you telling me that there were 50 giveaway items the first season made me realize that that is probably where the majority of those things that I see like in thrift shops and stuff come from. I still love my you know, stuff that I have from like the seasons that I've covered the team. The Brandon McCarthy nameplate for me is awesome, but that's not like weirdly obscure. That's just a weird thing for me to have. I don't know. What else in the Diamondbacks realm do you guys have? I want to hear from you guys in the comments if anybody else has anything weird like Josh's bottle opener, because I know there's still some stuff out there, but. Before we move on, of course, I have to remind you guys to go try our friends at OG's Gummies if you haven't tried them out already. Jesse, you can earmuff for this part, of course. But, we were out there. We're outside. Some of us are still recovering from Saturday, of course. But we had a blast with our friends at OG's out at the Maya Day Club launching their limited edition seasonal flavor, Pina Colada. They were just giving out non-medicated samples to everybody, much to most people's disappointment of them being non-medicated, but they are perfect pineapple and creamy coconut blend for you to try this summer, right and perfect in time for summertime. So check out OG's online at ogsbrands.com or on Instagram at ogsbrands at ogeezbrands.com. Was talking to the guys and I was reminding them that so many of our friends that have tried OG's have reminded us that they try them for sleep. So make sure to look out for OG's to be having some new products coming out specifically for sleep and other things that, you know, might help you out. I know for sure that indica that they offer in the 10 milligram dose is perfect for that. They also have their 3 milligram microdose if you want to kind of dip your toes in the OG's world. And I know a lot of people have really enjoyed those. So regardless of the dose, indica, sativa, check out all the options that OG's Brands has to offer for you at your local dispensary or online at ogsbrands.com. Must be 21 years or older to purchase. We got more questions. Is there more questions from our...
I have some in the comments, so all right. We'll start with this one.
Let's go. From there. Starting with the Clutch Canuck, he asks, how comfortable are y'all with Perdomo as the starting shortstop next year?
Mm.
I guess my initial reaction is not very, but... I think that the fact that he kind of has the position right now all to himself, I think we'll see a lot of development out of him for the remainder of the season. And I think that could be, you know, what gets him to that point. Really, he's just been making some minor errors, but they've been at critical times and they've been really unfortunate. They're kind of magnified by when they happen.
Yeah, this was actually one of the takeaways from the article I wrote today was just It was in particular Saturday's game over the weekend against the Tigers. Technically, Geraldo Perdomo only made one error in the game, but I think there were three other plays that he probably should have made. Not necessarily all super easy plays or anything like that, but the kinds of plays that, you know, you're certainly used to seeing Nick Ahmed make, and you're used to seeing a lot of other major league shortstops make. So it's tough. Geraldo Perdomo has been billed as a guy who excels defensively and has been ready to play shortstop defense in the major leagues for a number of years.
And we were really worried about him getting blocked by Nick Ahmed, right? Because Nick Ahmed seemed to be one of the Diamondbacks weren't going to be parting ways with anytime soon.
Right. And I think the reverse has sort of happened where, you know, Nick Ahmed has had this major procedure that, you know, is going to sideline him for a significant amount of time. And a lot of people are missing watching Nick Ahmed play shortstop every day, and understandably so. If you look at the some of the defensive metrics, Geraldo Perdomo has been pretty well above, well below average, excuse me, at shortstop defensively. So given the fact that the defense hasn't really been there for him, he's not doing a whole lot with the bat just yet. He's patient. You know that you're going to get a good at-bat from him. But he's hitting around 200. There's not a whole lot of power there. It's mostly singles. So the good news is he's 22 years old, right? So you're not necessarily sounding the alarm just yet. And I think it's totally possible that in a couple months we're looking at Geraldo Perdomo very favorably into the future. So we'll have to see.
Josh asks, if you had to rebuild a stadium for the D-backs, what are some key features you'd want to add to the stadium? That's a great question.
That is a great question.
Because I think...
Wasn't this... I think we talked about this during the lockout. One of those,
I'm sure we did.
One of those 6,000 shows that we did when we didn't have anything actual to talk about.
Hey, we made it though, right? We made it to this day of you being here right now. That's all that matters. I think being reasonable, obviously, you know, being out at the stadium, there's no way that the Diamondbacks can play in an actual outdoor stadium. But for me, that's the biggest priority. So what can you do to simulate in some way or bring in more natural outdoor features to a stadium that's going to still need to be indoors, right? Like I kind of think of the University of Phoenix or State Farm Stadium, I should say now, where the Cardinals play. It's indoors, but it lets in natural light.
Yeah, there's more light. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's the answer. Obviously, I know that the Diamondbacks have shown this year specifically that they can play a considerable amount of games in April and, you know, May outdoors, and probably a handful in September. I just don't know if, you know, the retractable roof is the right call, if it's necessary, if we do something more like what the Cardinals have going on. I don't know. I really don't know. But I know that there needs to be some way, if it really, when it comes down to it, is it just doesn't feel like an actual baseball park when you go to, like, you, we were just at San Diego, and the difference is night and day between a stadium like San Diego and Arizona's, but we can't have that.
It also, San Diego also happens to be like 74 degrees like every single day all the time, which helps. But I'm with you there. I think that we've talked about it before. Chase Field is kind of the airplane hangar with a swimming pool inside of it. And It's going to be really hard for Chase Field to be a genuinely, you know, really cool place to go until they find a way around that. And unfortunately, doing so is going to require some major construction, possibly just building a new stadium somewhere else. That's not exactly something you can do overnight. Something that I've wondered if the team would do for a long time that they haven't so far. And I personally haven't really heard any indications that they will, but I think there's too many seats at Chase Field.
I completely agree.
And I guess the question was, what would you add? And here I am like subtracting things, but I think that would make a big difference. If there's a way to kind of cut down the size of just the feel of the place and make it a little bit more of an intimate setting. I think about Salt River Fields, which is a premier facility for spring training, and how obviously it's a much smaller stadium, so it's going to be different, but it's a really cool place to watch a game because you just feel like you're kind of right there with everyone. And Chase Field just doesn't have that feeling. It's just this massive building, and you know, there's usually a lot of empty seats just given where the Diamondbacks attendance numbers have been recently. So I don't know. Are there any fun things we could add?
Well, okay, I'll say this. I don't know if they're still like this, but I know at one point you can't really stand anywhere in Chase Field without like an usher kind of coming over and moving you along.
Yeah.
Right. So like, again, if we're going to take seats out, much like, and I've talked about this before, but much like what the Suns did, like some more areas for people to stand and watch the game, move around the park. That's one thing that's so big about when you talk about Salt River Fields, most people don't sit in their seats very long. Now, mind you, if you sit on like the third base side on a sunny day, you just can't sit there long.
Yeah, you physically cannot.
Right. But, you know, you kind of need to get up and move around. But for sure, we need to, you know, do things like that. Again, whatever you can do to make it more of a park. And I mean,
that's a good point. It doesn't feel like a park. Like it
doesn't feel like a park. Right?
Doesn't feel like a park.
You know, next question comes from Josh Hunt. Also wants to know when we're going to do a baseball movie snake draft. Very soon. Very soon. This guy's here, and I'm going to make him watch baseball movies. I'm going to give him an assignment of watching them first, and then we can do a snake
Pretty
draft.
Much any draft that we do on the show requires like an assignment for me in advance so that I can become informed about whatever it is.
We're going to better you as a person. You're going to get some experience.
I will
pop
grow
culture
a lot
now.
As
You're
a person growing. Working at PHNX. There is no doubt in my mind.
Oh, man. All right. So Chris Melton in the chat asked, better home run sound, aluminum or wooden bat? What a great question.
Oh.
What a great question. Because I don't know if there's anything better than the sound of a well-struck ball on a wooden bat.
Yeah, I think it's the wooden. I think it's the wooden bat.
That aluminum ping, though, especially when you watch the College World Series. I don't know. It just makes me wish that there wasn't like a ban on aluminum bats in baseball. You know,
that would be kind of – I feel like there should be some sort of an event where we rid ourselves of the wood bats and we just use aluminum bats just for
aluminum.
Fun. Yeah,
like that home run derby X thing that they're doing. Yeah, with Major League Baseball,
right,
something like that.
Right.
Like, yeah, give me that ping sound. But I don't know, man. I mean, just I think also because it's more rare, right? Like you can get that good sound on an aluminum bat on a single or a well struck fly out, but there is something about a ball being hit for a home run where you know it's a goddamn home run from the time that sound was made. You're like, that's a home run. I don't even need to look at it. That's why pitchers sometimes don't turn around. They just needed to hear that sound.
Yeah, they just need to hear the sound.
Nope, that's gone.
I think it's one of the most unique things that baseball has going for it is there are just these noises in baseball that are just like the sound of the ball hitting the catcher's glove.
Sure.
There's just these... And I don't know, maybe
banging a trash can.
Yeah, banging a trash can. Absolutely. Right, absolutely. It feels it feels like baseball is more, I don't know, do other sports have those kinds of like iconic, I just can't wait to hear the crack of the bat. We say that in baseball all the time.
I think like basketball, like I think of like the
swish.
The swish and like the sneakers squeaking on the court, you know, that's
See, but they have to like mic those things. Like the net is not that loud for those of you who may have been deceived. It doesn't normally carry into the television broadcast on its own. But baseball is just it's a unique thing about the sport. So yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. And I mean that's the stuff that baseball at times needs to really fall back on, right? Chase Field, again, when you want to talk about like things that it does well, it's great. It's a great auditory experience because of the acoustics in the
building.
That's
true.
Right?
Yeah, so, there are some
like,
good
that's
acoustics
good.
At Chase Field.
But then, you know, there is this missing now with the turf, you know, the missing smell of the grass being cut, which was something that you could actually kind of smell.
You think you could actually smell the grass being cut?
Oh, God, when they had real grass in there, you could actually smell like it smelled differently. That's all. Like now there's no like natural.
We're still trying to figure out what Chase Field smells like. We were trying to figure this out yesterday.
Wetzel's Pretzels is still my best answer.
Yeah. I think Chris said sweet bread.
Sweet bread.
Which is actually like, that's a pretty good description.
Oh,
that's a pretty good answer.
And it's a great smell. It is.
It is.
The Clutch Canuck asks, with the wild card out of reach, what are some goals you want from the D-backs by the end of the season? I don't know, man. I'd say that like what we're seeing right now, got young guys getting opportunities, not hesitating to bring these guys up and get them time now on a season that feels like, I'm not going to say is a wash, but like you said yourself, it doesn't feel like they're going to be making the playoffs. So why not?
Yeah.
Why not now? You know, that's the reason why we get the Corbin Carroll question almost every week. Corbin Carroll, are we going to see him this year? Well, why not? I don't know. I mean, he's vastly outperforming his competition in the minor league system. But
yeah,
there is something to be said about baseball and the length of time that they try to give guys so that they don't rush their, you know, their march to the majors. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Corbin Carroll question. Yeah, I mean, it always comes back. There's someone who asked on Twitter about that just a few minutes ago. It's a tough one as far as whether to bring up someone like that. You really want to be careful with, you know, bringing him up too soon. I think it can definitely put guys in a tough spot. But I think as far as goals for the season are concerned, I think the Diamondbacks are still in a place of trying to narrow down, right? They're in a place of trying to figure out who are going to be the members of this next great Diamondbacks team that everyone is hoping they get to see soon. And I think we're seeing some of them, right? I mean, Alec Thomas seems to be in there for sure. And Ketel Marte is going to be here for a while, hasn't had as great of a season. Maybe that's a goal that you're looking for is for Ketel to
get back on track. For sure. And get back on the field, right? Not just be DHing, but to be the guy that MLB Network said was going to be the best second baseman in baseball this year.
Right.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that hasn't exactly happened so far. So, I think it's a matter of trying to figure out who these guys are. And the closer the Diamondbacks can get to that point of clarity where they feel like they know who those guys are and who they're going to give the bulk of the playing time to next season, that's what you're looking for.
It's the core, right? And they still haven't figured out the core is. And that's why they're still so far away from winning and being competitive, right?
Yeah.
The Dodgers know who their core is. And then not only do they have a robust minor
league
system. It's a very
large core.
Well, it's a large core with a robust minor league system that they can keep trying guys out to kind of see who might be able to be added to that core.
Yeah.
And also the money, deep pockets to be bringing in guys from outside to be adding to the thing that they've already built, right? But the Diamondbacks don't even know who their core is yet. That's that first step. And then, you know, the success, the supplementing it with free agents and stuff, that's kind of a final step.
Yeah.
Josh Hunt talked about the 2018 Suns and being like them in the comments. This is exactly right. Like I said before the season started, I feel like we're the 2018 Suns. We got our pieces and they just got to develop and get a few solid transplants and we're going to see a winning record. That's what it feels like. It's a matter of being patient though, right? And it sucks to live through those years. It sucks to live through the 2012 through 2019 part of the Suns run. You want to just get to the part that we're at now, right? But even the part
we're
at now
rough.
Is experiencing heartbreak and disappointment. So
it's a nicer heartbreak and disappointment.
It's much nicer to be the best team in the baseball during the regular season and then just kind of get bounced from the playoffs. But we're not going to talk about that. We don't need more heartbreak. We have enough heartbreak. It's an off day. We're not taking on our problems on top of your problems on top of our problems. But we thank you guys so much for being with us in the chat. We thank you for your Mailbag Monday questions. Of course, we appreciate you guys more than anything because we wouldn't be doing this without you. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. But of course, all roads lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Do me a favor. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook right now. I know all the sports are done. You can get down on baseball. Remember, kids, baseball is fun, but
we're finally doing baseball ads.
We're going to be doing baseball ads right now, but not yet, Jesse, because this weekend is UFC 272, July 2nd, or excuse me, 276. So there is more than one way for you to get down on the DraftKings Sportsbook. And of course, you can get down in the Octagon with the DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use our promo code of PHNX. Bet $5 on any UFC 276 fighter to win, and you will get $100 in free bets no matter what. Again, I compared it yesterday to if you bet on a guy, and then he gets beat up, and then you get paid for it. So it's like he got beat up and for money he owes you or something. Whatever you want to do with it. Of course, those free bets can then be parlayed into all sorts of fun, not only on the UFC 276 pay-per-view, but on baseball, on, I don't know, cricket. There's all sorts of options during the summer. I know the other sports are gone, but baseball, we reign supreme during the summer. Make sure to get down on that as well on the DraftKings Sportsbook with a same-game parlay. They have a great option now on the DraftKings Sportsbook where they're they're putting some same game parlays together for you, which is kind of nice.
Whoa, I just realized my app works now.
Hey, this guy. My gosh. We're getting it down. We're getting Jesse, download it. Get down to UFC 276
I'm going to do that.
That's code PHNX, PHNX, this Saturday. Okay. DraftKings Sportsbook.
I got it.
The official sports betting partner of UFC. Minimum age, and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Are you looking at me when you say
minimum age? No, I was not. Down on that right now. Of course, it makes everything more fun. Let's be honest. UFC is already fun, but get down on that, and it'll make it more fun. We thank you guys again so much for watching us. If you're watching us right now on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss whenever we go live. Starting next week, we're going to have a bit of a schedule change, so hopefully you guys will enjoy finding us a bit earlier in the day. We are going to be having lunch with you more often. Join us for our live shows at 12:30 right here in the studio. So get more of that. We'll still be doing our post-series wrap-up shows about 10 minutes after the final out. Whenever we can get this guy out of the stadium, basically, is what we're looking for. But we're going to do a better job than we did yesterday, for sure. We thank you guys so much for checking us out. If you're listening to us on your favorite audio podcasting app, please subscribe to us there and leave us a 5-star review. We thank you so much for that. And we thank you again for your questions and for joining us today. On behalf of Jesse and myself, we appreciate you as always. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you do it in studio with the boys.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.